Why saying no is a superpower. Imagine waking up one morning and realizing that every yes you've ever said out of guilt, fear, or obligation has slowly stolen pieces of your time, energy, and peace of mind. You look at your calendar, every hour filled with things you didn't truly choose. Meetings you didn't want, favors you resented, responsibilities that were never yours. You feel exhausted. Not from life itself, but from the life you've agreed to live for others. This is not just about being busy. This is about being buried. Under the weight of people-pleasing, under the fear of disappointing others, under the need to be liked, accepted, or seen as nice. But here's the truth. No is not rejection. It's protection. Saying no is not about being rude, selfish, or difficult. It's about reclaiming ownership of your life. It's about drawing a line between what you tolerate and what you deserve. It's about valuing your time, your energy, and your emotional well-being as much as you valued others. In this audiobook, we are going to explore how to say no powerfully, peacefully, and without guilt. We'll unmask the hidden reasons why it's so hard to refuse others. We'll look into how to protect your energy, set clear boundaries, and take back your time. And most importantly, we'll remind you of one simple, transformative truth. Every time you say no to something that doesn't align with your truth, you say yes to yourself. Why this topic matters more than ever. We live in a world that glorifies productivity, busyness, and self-sacrifice. The more you give, the more you're applauded. But nobody talks about the invisible cost of always saying yes. Missed opportunities. Chronic burnout. Relationships filled with silent resentment. And perhaps worst of all, the slow erosion of your identity. In this age of constant connection, emails, messages, requests, notifications, you're expected to be available to everyone, all the time. But just because someone has access to you doesn't mean they should have control over your time or attention. You don't owe anyone your energy just because they ask for it. It's time to redefine what it means to be kind, respectful, and generous. True kindness includes being kind to yourself. True respect includes respecting your own boundaries. And true generosity means giving from overflow, not from depletion. A quick story. Let me tell you about Maya, a graphic designer in her early 30s. She was the go-to person in her office. Need help? Ask Maya. Need overtime? Maya's got it. Family needed errands? Maya would cancel her weekend plans. She thought she was being supportive, but inside, she was drowning. One day, she forgot a deadline for her biggest client. Something she'd never done before. Her mind was too overloaded. The fallout was a wake-up call. Maya started saying no, slowly, gently, firmly. She stopped apologizing for needing space. She created a boundary plan for work and home. Within 6 months, she was less anxious, more productive, and finally had energy for what truly mattered. Her relationships didn't fall apart. In fact, they improved. Because she was no longer carrying silent resentment, she stopped giving from a dry well. Maya learned that no wasn't the end of connection. It was the beginning of a healthier one. You can do the same. What you'll learn in this audiobook. This is not just a self-help guide. This is your permission slip to reclaim your time, your energy, and your voice. In the chapters ahead, you'll learn why saying no feels so uncomfortable, and how to make peace with it. The hidden emotional traps that keep you overcommitted. How to say no without guilt, fear, or over-explaining. How to build boundaries that honor your values and time. How to deal with people who test your boundaries, and how to stand your ground. Real-life examples. Tools, scripts, and mindset shifts that you can use today. This audiobook will challenge you, empower you, and most of all, free you. Because once you start saying no with confidence, you'll realize you've been spending your life reacting, not choosing. And that ends now. So take a deep breath. You don't have to be everything for everyone. You don't need anyone's permission to protect your peace. You're not here to constantly explain or overextend yourself. You're here to live fully, love deeply, and protect what matters most. And sometimes that starts with a single powerful word, no. Are you ready? Let's begin. Chapter 2, The Psychology of People-Pleasing. Let's go deeper. If saying no is so simple, just two letters, then why is it so hard? Why do your palms sweat, your throat tighten, and your mind race with worst-case scenarios every time you think about declining a request? The answer lies in a hidden force that shapes our behavior more than we realize, the need to please. The hidden roots of people-pleasing. People-pleasing is not a flaw. It's a survival strategy, one that likely began in your childhood. Think back. Were you praised only when you were helpful, quiet, or agreeable? Were you punished, directly or subtly, when you spoke up, said no, or prioritized your own needs? As children, we quickly learn one thing. Love often feels conditional, and to avoid conflict, rejection, or disapproval, we shapeshift. We become what others need us to be, at the cost of who we truly are. This early conditioning leads to a powerful subconscious belief. If I make others happy, they won't leave me, judge me, or hurt me. But here's the problem. People-pleasing is a short-term solution with long-term damage. You end up betraying yourself again and again until you don't recognize your own wants, limits, or identity. The emotional drivers behind yes. Let's explore some of the most common emotional reasons behind chronic people-pleasing. 1. Fear of rejection. You worry that if you say no, others will be upset or abandon you. You've linked your worth to how much others accept you, even if it comes at your expense. 2. Fear of conflict. You'd rather suffer silently than confront someone. Saying no feels like an invitation to argument or tension, which you've been trained to avoid. 3. Need for validation. You feel valuable when others approve of you. Their praise feels like oxygen. Their disappointment feels like failure. 4. Guilt. This is the big one. You feel selfish for putting yourself first. You believe that denying someone, even politely, makes you a bad person. 5. Fear of hurting others. You care deeply about others' feelings, sometimes more than your own, but protecting others from discomfort isn't your job when it costs your peace. Each of these emotions is powerful, but unchecked, they become a leash that others unknowingly, or deliberately, tug on, pulling you into commitments, conversations, or obligations you don't want to be in. The cycle of self-betrayal. Here's what happens. You say yes when you want to say no. You feel overwhelmed, resentful, or anxious. You blame yourself for feeling this way. You suppress your needs again. You repeat the cycle until burnout, emotional shutdown, or silent resentment take over. This is not kindness. This is self-neglect dressed as generosity. People-pleasing is emotional camouflage. Let's call it what it is. People-pleasing is emotional camouflage. You hide your truth to stay safe, invisible, or accepted. But in doing so, you send a message to your nervous system. My needs don't matter. My truth is dangerous. I am only safe when I make others happy. Over time, this turns into a deep disconnect from yourself. You don't just avoid saying no. You forget how to even identify your true yes. You lose your voice. But here's the truth you must hold on to. You are not responsible for how others feel when you honor your own limits. You are not selfish for protecting your time. You are not cruel for prioritizing your peace. You are human, and you deserve the same care you give so freely to others. The cost of constant approval, let's be brutally honest. People-pleasing doesn't actually create stronger relationships. It creates shallow ones, built on fear, not authenticity. When you say yes just to be liked, you're not offering love. You're offering your own exhaustion. And the people who truly love you don't want a hollow version of you. They want the real you, even when you say no. Here's something powerful to remember. You teach people how to treat you by what you tolerate. And when you never say no, you unintentionally tell the world that your needs come last, that your time is free, that your energy is always available. But it's not. It never was. Rewiring your mindset. To break free from people-pleasing, you must rewire the beliefs behind it. Start here. Saying no does not make you bad. It makes you honest. Disagreement does not mean disconnection. Boundaries don't push people away. They protect the closeness that matters. You are allowed to be kind and clear, compassionate and assertive. It's time to unlearn the lie that your worth is measured by how much you bend, stretch, or sacrifice for others. Your worth is not tied to your usefulness. You are enough, just as you are. In the next chapter, we'll look at what happens when you don't set boundaries, how your mental, emotional, and even physical health suffer from the weight of constant yeses. Ready to see the cost of avoiding your truth? Let's turn the page. Chapter 3. What happens when you don't set boundaries? You may think that saying yes all the time makes you a better friend, a more loyal employee, or a more loving partner. But let's be clear. When you fail to set boundaries, you're not being helpful. You're being harmful to yourself. Boundaries are not about building walls. They're about building balance. When you ignore your need to say no, to step away or to protect your energy, you're slowly tearing away at your own well-being. And the effects aren't just emotional. They're mental, physical, spiritual, and relational. Let's explore what really happens when boundaries are absent. 1. You live in a constant state of overwhelm. When you don't set limits, your calendar fills with obligations you didn't choose. Your energy gets pulled in 10 different directions. You never feel caught up. You're always chasing, always behind. This overwhelm doesn't just live on your to-do list. It creeps into your sleep, your thoughts, your breathing. Even rest feels guilty because there's always something else you've promised someone else. Without boundaries, there's no time to recharge. And when you don't recharge, you can't be fully present for anything or anyone, including yourself. 2. Resentment takes root. At first, you say yes with a smile. But over time, those yeses become heavy. You start to feel taken advantage of. You begin to notice how others expect you to bend, but never bend for you. This quiet resentment festers. You don't express it, because expressing it feels unsafe. But it leaks out in sarcasm, in withdrawal, in silent frustration. Eventually, it damages your relationships. Why? Because people can't connect with a version of you that's constantly pretending to be okay. 3. You lose your sense of self. When you always prioritize what others want, you forget what you want. When every decision is made out of guilt or fear, you slowly disconnect from your own desires, goals, and identity. You no longer ask, "What do I need today?" Instead, you ask, "Who needs me today?" You become a responder instead of a creator, a shadow of your true self, a vessel constantly pouring but never being filled. 4. You attract the wrong people. Let's be real. When you don't set boundaries, you attract boundary pushers. This includes people who take without giving, friends who call only when they need something, coworkers who shift their responsibilities onto you, partners who mistake your silence for acceptance, and the worst part, they think you're okay with it. Not because they're evil, but because you've never told them otherwise. Without boundaries, you're a magnet for emotional manipulation, subtle guilt tripping, and one-sided relationships. 5. You abandon yourself. Every time you ignore your own limits to make someone else more comfortable, you reinforce the idea that your needs don't matter, that your time isn't valuable, that your well-being is optional. This self-abandonment becomes your norm. You stop listening to your intuition. You start doubting your decisions. And over time, you stop trusting yourself altogether. But let me be clear. You were never meant to betray yourself for love, approval, or harmony. 6. Your mental and physical health suffer. Chronic stress, anxiety, burnout, insomnia. These are not personality traits. They are symptoms. And one of the root causes? Boundary collapse. When you carry too much emotional weight for too long, your body begins to break down. Headaches, fatigue, immune dysfunction, depression. Your body keeps the score, and eventually it says, no more, whether you're ready or not. 7. You become less effective at everything. Ironically, the more you say yes to everything, the less value you actually bring. Your creativity suffers. Your attention becomes scattered. Your empathy fades into exhaustion. Your yes loses its meaning because it's not coming from a full place. It's coming from survival. Think about it. When your cup is empty, what exactly are you giving others? Boundaries help you show up as your best self. Without them, you show up depleted, and that helps no one. Real life example, the silent decline. Let's look at Raj, a school teacher who said yes to everything. Extra classes, weekend tutoring, organizing events, even personal favors for colleagues. He never said no because he didn't want to disappoint anyone. But months later, Raj started forgetting things. His tone became sharp. His once patient nature turned into chronic irritability. His joy for teaching faded. His health declined. What happened? He didn't hit burnout in one day. He got there one yes at a time. Until his doctor told him he had severe adrenal fatigue. He had given so much, there was nothing left. Raj had to learn the hard way. If you don't set boundaries early, life will set them for you, and it won't be gentle. The good news, you can reclaim control. Here's the truth you need to embrace. Boundaries are not punishments. They're protections. Saying no doesn't create distance. It creates clarity. When you protect your peace, you show others how to respect it too. You are allowed to rest. You are allowed to pause. You are allowed to say, this doesn't work for me. Boundaries are a form of self-respect, and respect is the foundation of every healthy relationship, including the one you have with yourself. In the next chapter, we'll explore what boundaries actually are, how they work, and why they are one of the greatest acts of love, not just for others, but for yourself. Because once you understand the power of boundaries, you'll never feel guilty for using them again. Chapter 4, The Power of Boundaries. What they really mean. Let's get one thing clear. Boundaries are not about pushing people away. They're about drawing a line that protects your peace, your values, your energy, and your time, so that you can stay connected to others without losing yourself in the process. Yet most people misunderstand boundaries. They think boundaries are rigid walls, cold ultimatums, or selfish acts. But in reality, boundaries are the exact opposite. They are bridges that allow you to relate to others with clarity, not confusion. With respect, not resentment. What are boundaries, really? A boundary is simply a limit you set to protect your emotional, mental, physical, or spiritual well-being. Think of it like a property line. Your home has walls, doors, locks, not because you hate people, but because you want to choose who enters, when they enter, and how long they stay. That's not selfish. That's safety. Boundaries do the same for your emotional space. They define what is acceptable to you, what's not acceptable, and what you will do if those lines are crossed. Boundaries are not about controlling others. They're about controlling your own response. The different types of boundaries. Let's break it down into real-life categories so you can begin to identify where your own boundaries are strong and where they need strengthening. 1. Emotional boundaries. These protect your heart and mind. Saying, "I'm not comfortable discussing that right now." Refusing to take responsibility for someone else's mood. Not allowing others to unload their emotional baggage on you without consent. 2. Time boundaries. Your time is your life. Saying no to events, meetings, or calls that don't align with your priorities. Blocking off time for rest or personal goals. Not allowing others to expect instant responses. 3. Physical boundaries. This includes your personal space and body. Saying, "Please don't touch me without asking." Needing space to be alone. Setting limits on how close others get, literally and figuratively. 4. Digital boundaries. Technology has blurred all lines. Turning off notifications after a certain hour. Not answering work emails on weekends. Protecting your energy from online negativity. 5. Conversational boundaries. This is about the topics you engage in. Refusing to gossip. Stepping away from toxic or triggering conversations. Saying, "I'd rather not discuss that." 6. Internal boundaries. This is how you manage yourself. Saying no to your own urge to overcommit. Stopping negative self-talk. Protecting your time from distractions and procrastination. Each boundary you set is a statement. This is who I am. This is what matters to me. This is how I protect my life. Why most people resist setting boundaries. There are many reasons. Some we inherit. Some we invent. You're afraid of hurting others. You fear being rejected or labeled difficult. You don't want to be seen as rude. You don't believe your needs are important enough. You were never taught how to have boundaries in the first place. But here's the uncomfortable truth. Every time you avoid setting a boundary to avoid discomfort, you choose short-term peace over long-term wellness. You might avoid conflict today, but you'll carry resentment tomorrow. You might protect someone's feelings now, but you'll sacrifice your own in the process. Boundaries are not selfish. They are self-honoring. The power boundaries give you. Once you begin to set boundaries, something magical happens. You stop over-explaining. You stop apologizing for your needs. You stop letting guilt run your calendar. You begin to feel free. Because boundaries are not just rules, they're filters. They allow the right people and right energy into your life while keeping the rest out. Here's what healthy boundaries create. More energy, because you're not leaking it everywhere. More confidence, because you finally speak your truth. More peace, because you're not overcommitted. Stronger relationships, because they're based on honesty, not obligation. Mindset shift. Boundaries are an act of love. Let's rewrite the story. Setting boundaries doesn't mean you're cold. You don't care. You're selfish. It means you respect yourself. You communicate clearly. You want authentic, lasting connections. Think about it this way. Without boundaries, love turns into obligation. With boundaries, love is chosen, not demanded. Boundaries don't push people away. They invite the right people to come closer. With respect. Chapter 5, The Guilt Trap. Overcoming emotional blackmail. You finally build up the courage to say no. Your voice is calm. Your words are clear. But then it hits you, the guilt. that heavy, invisible weight pressing down on your chest. You replay the conversation. You wonder if you were too harsh. You second-guess your decision. You feel like a bad person for simply honoring your limits. Sound familiar? That feeling is not weakness. It's a signal, one that you've been emotionally conditioned to respond to. Guilt is the leash that pulls people-pleasers back into silence. It's not just emotional, it's strategic, and sometimes it's used against you. Let's talk about the guilt trap and how to escape it for good. Why we feel guilty for saying no. From childhood, we are taught to be polite, agreeable, and obedient. Don't say no to your elders. Be a good boy, girl. If someone needs help, you help them. Don't make anyone upset. These messages are embedded in us long before we ever understand boundaries. So later in life, when we finally do say no, it doesn't feel like strength. It feels like betrayal, not of others, but of everything we were taught to believe is right. But here's the truth. Guilt does not mean you've done something wrong. It often means you've done something different, something healthy, perhaps for the first time. The psychology of guilt. Guilt is an emotion that's meant to help us correct behavior when we've genuinely harmed someone. But for chronic people-pleasers, guilt becomes distorted. You feel guilty for taking a day off, turning down an invitation, saying you're unavailable, choosing yourself. That's not guilt. That's self-betrayal in disguise. The moment you start living in alignment with your truth, guilt will try to pull you back into your old identity, the one that kept everyone else happy while draining you dry. Emotional blackmail. When guilt is weaponized, some people in your life may not react well to your boundaries. They may question your loyalty, accuse you of being selfish, play the victim, say things like, "After all I've done for you," give you the silent treatment, use phrases like, "You've changed." This is emotional blackmail. It's not about your well-being, it's about their control. Let me say this clearly. Anyone who makes you feel guilty for protecting your peace was benefiting from your lack of it. How to deal with guilt? When it rises, you can't eliminate guilt entirely, but you can learn how to respond to it, not react to it. Here's how. 1. Acknowledge the guilt without believing it. Say to yourself, "I feel guilty, but that doesn't mean I'm wrong." This separates the emotion from the action. 2. Practice reality checking. Ask, "Did I lie, insult, or hurt someone intentionally? Or did I simply express my needs respectfully?" Chances are your guilt is based on old programming, not actual harm. 3. Breathe through the discomfort. Your nervous system is wired to react when you break a people-pleasing pattern. Sit with the discomfort. Breathe into it. Let it pass. You're not doing something wrong. You're doing something new. 4. Reaffirm your why. Remind yourself, "I'm saying no to protect my health. I'm not responsible for how others feel about my boundaries. I can be kind and say no." Affirm your truth. Don't abandon it the moment someone disapproves. Scripts to deflect guilt traps. Here are a few graceful ways to set boundaries without engaging in guilt spirals. "I understand that this may be disappointing, but I need to honor my capacity. I care about you, and that's why I want to be honest instead of overcommitting. I hope you understand, but I've decided not to take this on right now. That doesn't work for me, and I appreciate your understanding." You don't owe long explanations. You don't need permission to protect your energy. A clear no is far more loving than a resentful yes. Real-life example, the friend who guilt-tripped. Let's talk about Alex. Every time he declined plans with his old college friend, she'd say things like, "Oh, wow, too busy for me now? I guess you've moved on. Just say you don't care anymore. At first, Alex caved in every time, feeling awful for making her feel excluded. But then he realized her disappointment wasn't about him. It was about her expectation. So Alex started responding with calm, confident boundaries. I care about you, and I also need downtime after work. Let's plan for another day that works for us both. Eventually, she stopped guilt-tripping. Why? Because she learned that his boundary wasn't up for debate. Guilt is a sign you're growing. Every time you set a boundary, guilt may try to knock on your door. But let that guilt be a sign, not of failure, but of freedom. It means you're rewiring years of conditioning. It means you're no longer available for self-sacrifice disguised as kindness. You're learning that it's okay to disappoint others if it means you're no longer disappointing yourself. Let the guilt pass. Let your power grow. In the next chapter, we'll get practical. We'll dive into how to say no without feeling bad. With real-world scripts, tone tips, and confidence-boosting techniques. Because saying no doesn't have to be scary. It can be simple. It can be kind. And with practice, it can become your new superpower. Chapter 6. How to Say No Without Feeling Bad. Saying no doesn't have to be dramatic. It doesn't require an apology tour or emotional gymnastics. You don't need to explain yourself for 10 minutes or give 20 reasons why you can't. But for many of us, the word no still feels like a door slammed shut. Final, cold, unkind. Let's change that. You can say no with kindness. You can say no with clarity. You can say no with confidence. And most importantly, you can say no and still be loved, respected, and connected. In this chapter, we'll break down exactly how to do it with tools, scripts, tone strategies, and mindset shifts that make no feel natural. Step 1. Drop the apology. One of the biggest mistakes people make is leading with guilt. I'm so sorry, I just can't. I hate to do this, but I feel terrible, but you don't need to apologize for protecting your time, energy, or peace. Instead, say, thank you for thinking of me, but I won't be able to. That won't work for me right now. I'm not available, but I appreciate the invite. Notice the tone. Clear, respectful. Final. Step 2. Use confident body language and tone. The words you use matter, but how you say them matters more. Keep your tone calm and neutral, not defensive or anxious. Make eye contact if in person. Let silence do the heavy lifting. You don't need to fill awkward gaps. Let your words land. Example. Thanks for thinking of me. I'll have to pass on this one. Say it, then stop. Let it be. People often test boundaries, not because they're malicious, but because you've trained them that your no is really just a maybe. It's time to retrain them. Step 3. Have go-to scripts ready. When you're under pressure, it's easy to panic and cave. That's why preparing responses ahead of time makes it easier to stand your ground. Here are some powerful no scripts you can adapt to your style. For social invitations, thanks so much, but I'm not available that day. That sounds fun, but I'm prioritizing rest this weekend. I won't be able to make it, but I hope you all have a great time. For work requests, I'd love to help, but my plate is full right now. I can't commit to that and still deliver quality on my current projects. Let's revisit this after current priority is finished. For family, friends pressuring you. I know this is important to you, but I'm not in a place to say yes right now. I need to put my own health first this week. I understand you may be disappointed, and I'm okay with that. Step 4. Replace panic with pause. Instead of reacting immediately, practice the pause and process approach. If you feel pressured, let me think about it and get back to you. I'll check my calendar and let you know. Can I have a day to sit with that? This buys you time, clears emotion, and lets you respond with intention, not panic. Remember, not answering immediately is better than saying yes and regretting it. Step 5. Understand that no is a complete sentence. Yes, it's okay to explain when necessary, but over-explaining often invites negotiation. If your no needs a reason, keep it short, simple, and don't justify. Bad. I'm sorry. I can't go because I have to take my dog to the vet. And then I promised my cousin I'd better sigh. I won't be able to make it. No overtalking. No shrinking. Just clarity. Step 6. Know when to say no without saying no. Sometimes, especially in delicate relationships, reframing works better than rejection. Instead of flat out no, I'm focusing on fewer commitments right now. That's not something I'm taking on this season. I'm choosing to keep my schedule lighter this month. It softens the message without weakening the boundary. Real life example, the power of a soft but firm no. Let's talk about Leah, a freelance designer constantly bombarded with quick favors from friends. Every time she declined, she was met with guilt. Come on, it'll take you 5 minutes. You're so good at it, please. Leah started using this script. I appreciate your trust in me, but I have to prioritize my paying clients and personal time right now. At first, it felt uncomfortable, but with each no, her confidence grew. Her friends adjusted. And Leah? She got her evenings back. Her stress dropped. Her creativity returned. Bonus tip, anticipate pushback. Some people won't accept your first no. Here's how to respond. Them. Are you sure? You always help. You. I know, and that's something I'm working on changing. I need to be more protective of my time. Them. Can't you just squeeze it in? You. If I say yes to this, I'm saying no to something else I deeply need right now. Stay calm. Repeat your boundary if needed. Don't get pulled into guilt or defensiveness. Final truth. Saying no gets easier with practice. The first no will feel hard. The second will feel awkward. But the tenth, it will feel liberating. Saying no is a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it becomes. Each no makes room for what you truly value. Each no is a doorway to more energy, more peace, and more purpose. You are not mean. You are not cold. You are not selfish. You are just finally listening to yourself. In the next chapter, we'll take this further. How to reclaim your time and mental space with proactive tools, time blocking techniques, and lifestyle shifts that allow your boundaries to thrive. Chapter 7, Reclaiming Your Time and Mental Space. You've started saying no. You're setting boundaries. You're learning to protect your energy. But now comes the real transformation, reclaiming your time and mental space. Because boundaries aren't just about keeping things out. They're about making room for what matters most. Room to breathe. Room to think. Room to live intentionally. In this chapter, we're going to learn how to take back control of your time and mental bandwidth with practical tools, powerful strategies, and mindset upgrades that help you create a life you don't need to escape from. Step 1. Time is your most precious asset. Let's start with a truth bomb. If you don't protect your time, someone else will spend it for you. Time is not renewable. You don't get it back. And yet, we trade it constantly for things we don't enjoy, for people who don't respect us, and for distractions that don't serve us. Reclaiming your time begins by realizing this. Your calendar is a mirror of your values or your fears. So let's make it reflect your truth, not your guilt. Step 2. Design your ideal week. Before anyone else can claim your time, claim it for yourself. Here's a simple but powerful exercise. Create a blank weekly calendar and fill it only with the things that matter most to you. Focus blocks for deep work. Quiet time for rest or reflection. Exercise and movement. Family or meaningful relationships. Hobbies or creative projects. White space. Yes, actual unstructured time. Once these are in place, only then decide what else you're available for. This flips the model. You no longer fit your life around obligations. You fit obligations around your life. Step 3. Create a no list. Most people have to-do lists. Few have don't-do lists. And that's the problem. Create a no list. This is your personal policy manual. It can include no meetings before 10 a.m., no social events during the work week, no phone notifications after 8 p.m., no unpaid work beyond 15 minutes, no multitasking during creative time. You're not being rigid. You're being intentional. Your no list is a commitment to sanity. Step 4. Practice time blocking. Time blocking is a method where you assign chunks of your day to specific tasks and fiercely protect those blocks. Examples: 9 o'clock, 11 a.m., creative work, no interruptions. 12 o'clock, 1 p.m., rest and recharge. 2 o'clock, 3 p.m., admin tasks. 5 p.m. onward, no work, only personal life. When your time has structure, you create space for flow, and you reduce the need to make 100 little decisions a day. Bonus tip: guard the gaps. These little just 10 minutes moments are where most of your energy leaks. Step 5. Declutter your mind. Mental clutter is the invisible enemy of clarity. It steals your peace. It's made of unfinished tasks, unspoken truths, unclear priorities, unprocessed emotions. Here's how to clean it up. Brain dump daily. Write everything down, then sort what truly matters. Do a digital detox. Log out, unfollow, mute, simplify. Practice the 3 deciseconds. Delete, delegate, or delay anything that doesn't require your energy today. The result? A quieter mind. A stronger focus. A better you. Step 6. Set digital boundaries. Your phone is a portal, either to empowerment or exhaustion. Set digital rules. No notifications for non-urgent apps. Limit screen time with tools like app blockers. Unfollow accounts that drain your energy. Schedule tech-free blocks, especially at night. Remember, every notification costs attention. Every scroll costs intention. You don't owe the world 24/7's access to your mind. Step 7. Create energy rituals. Time management is energy management. So build rituals that refuel you. Morning routine, even 15 minutes of peace. Nature walks, meditation or journaling. Afternoon breaks with no screen. Weekly reset days to reflect and realign. Protect these like appointments, because they are appointments with your soul. Real life example: Daniel's time reboot. Daniel was a project manager drowning in emails, meetings, and stress. He said yes to everything. He checked his phone before brushing his teeth. His weekends disappeared into obligations. Then he made one powerful change. He created a personal operating system. Blocked deep work hours. Cut meetings in half. Created a no list. Took walks instead of doom scrolling. Set his phone to do not disturb after 7 p.m. In 60 days, he went from reactive to proactive, from exhausted to energized. He didn't quit his job. He didn't escape to the mountains. He simply reclaimed his time, and with it, his joy. Final truth: time freedom is emotional freedom. When you stop living by everyone else's schedule, you start living by your values. You stop rushing, you start breathing. You stop surviving, you start choosing. Reclaiming your time is one of the most radical acts of self-love. It's not about being efficient. It's about being present for what matters, for who matters, for you. In the next chapter, we'll talk about something even deeper, the confidence to prioritize yourself. Because even with all the tools in place, you won't protect your time unless you truly believe you're worthy of protection. Chapter 8, The Confidence to Prioritize Yourself. You've set boundaries. You've started reclaiming your time. You're learning to say no. But there's still one major roadblock that lingers for many people. Who am I to put myself first? What if they think I'm selfish? What if I'm not worth prioritizing? This chapter is about dismantling those doubts. Because until you truly believe that you deserve to take up space, you'll keep shrinking. You'll keep overgiving. You'll keep choosing everyone else over yourself. It's time to flip the script. Let's talk about building the deep, unshakable confidence to prioritize your own life. Why confidence isn't loud, it's rooted. Confidence isn't about being extroverted, forceful, or dominant. It's about being rooted in your worth. It's the quiet knowing that your needs matter, your time is valuable, your boundaries are valid, your energy is sacred. Real confidence says, I don't need permission to exist fully. And when you have that kind of confidence, you no longer feel guilty for protecting your peace. The lie we were taught. Society teaches a dangerous message, especially to women and sensitive people. You are valuable when you're useful to others. Selflessness is the highest virtue. Putting yourself first is selfish. But here's the truth they don't want you to know. Self-neglect is not noble, it's destructive. When you constantly sacrifice yourself for others, you don't serve them, you resent them. You don't grow, you shrink. You're not here to be small and obedient. You're here to stand in your truth and serve the world from overflow, not depletion. What prioritizing yourself really means? It doesn't mean you don't care about others. It doesn't mean you ignore responsibilities. It means you stop betraying yourself to make others comfortable. You stop saying yes out of fear. You stop waiting for approval to honor your own needs. It means you finally say, my peace matters, my rest matters, my dreams matter. And you live that truth, not just once, but daily. How to build inner confidence, step by step. 1. Keep micro-promises to yourself. Every time you say, I'll wake up early, or I'll go for a walk, or I'll turn off my phone, and you do it, you build trust in yourself. Confidence is a side effect of self-trust. Start small. Win daily. Watch your self-worth grow. 2. Speak to yourself with respect. If someone spoke to you the way you speak to yourself, would you keep them in your life? Stop the inner bullying. Replace it with, I'm allowed to take up space. I choose progress over perfection. I deserve rest, not just results. Your inner voice sets the tone for your outer boundaries. 3. Surround yourself with empowered people. Confidence is contagious. When you're around people who own their time, speak their truth, don't apologize for existing, you start to embody those traits too. Protect your energy by choosing empowering environments. 4. Celebrate progress, not perfection. Maybe your no was shaky. Maybe your boundary was messy. Still, celebrate it. Perfection is not the goal. Courage is. Every time you speak up, even a little, you plant a seed of self-worth. And confidence grows in soil watered with self-respect. Real-life example, Amina's inner shift. Amina was a nurse, loved by everyone, available 24/7. But inside, she felt invisible, depleted, angry. She realized one day, I'm waiting for someone else to give me permission to live my own life. That day, she started small. Said no to an extra shift. Took a solo weekend retreat. Unfollowed toxic accounts. Wrote down 3 things she was proud of daily. It wasn't dramatic, but it was powerful. A year later, she wasn't just surviving. She was leading, glowing, and setting boundaries with grace. Because she stopped asking, "Am I allowed?" and started declaring, "I deserve." Ask yourself this. What would change if I believed I mattered as much as everyone else? What would I stop doing? What would I start doing? What would I no longer tolerate? Write your answers down. Read them often. They are the roots of your new self-worth. Your permission slip to prioritize yourself. Here it is. You are allowed to say no. You are allowed to rest. You are allowed to cancel, delay, pause, or redirect. You are allowed to choose joy over obligation. You are allowed to be the main character in your own life. And no one can take that from you, unless you hand it over. This is your life. It's not a rehearsal. Don't spend it apologizing for existing. In the next chapter, we'll dive into handling pushback and toxic reactions, because not everyone will love the new boundary-setting version of you. And that's okay. Chapter 9. When they push back. Dealing with boundary resistance. You've found your voice. You've started saying no. You've created space for yourself. But then it happens. A friend gets distant. A family member gets upset. A colleague calls you difficult. Someone says, "You've changed." And they're right. You have changed. Because now, you're no longer the version of yourself who overextends, overcommits, or overexhausts to make others feel comfortable. And not everyone will be okay with that. This chapter is about what happens when people push back against your boundaries and how to stay strong through it. Why people resist your boundaries. Let's be clear. Your boundaries don't hurt people. They disrupt patterns, especially the ones that benefited from your silence. Here's why people may resist. They're used to the old you, the one who always said yes, always made time, never pushed back. They feel entitled to your time or energy, especially if you've trained them to expect unlimited access. They take it personally, seeing your boundary as a rejection instead of a reflection of your self-respect. They feel guilty or exposed because your growth highlights where they haven't yet grown. But their discomfort? It's not your responsibility. Expect, don't fear pushback. Most people don't resist your boundaries because they're evil. They resist because they don't understand, they feel insecure, they're afraid of losing control, or they just need time to adjust. Expect pushback, but don't let it pull you back. Common guilt-tripping responses and how to respond. 1. You've changed. Response: I have, and I'm proud of it. I'm learning to take better care of myself. 2. Wow, so now you don't have time for me? Response: That's not true. I value our connection. I just have to be more intentional with my time. 3. You used to always help me. Response: I know, and I still care. But I've realized I need to set healthier limits so I don't burn out. 4. Silent treatment or withdrawal. Response: I sense some distance. I'm here if you want to talk, but I'm staying firm on what I need right now. Notice the pattern. Stay calm, grounded, and clear. You don't need to match their emotional reaction. You just need to hold your boundary with love and firmness. Reframe the pushback. Instead of seeing it as conflict, see it as a filtering system. Your boundaries will do 2 things. Push away the people who were only in your life for convenience. Strengthen the relationships built on mutual respect. Either way, you win. Internal anchors. What to remember during resistance. When people react to your boundary, remind yourself, their discomfort is not my burden. I'm not responsible for their emotional reaction. My boundary is an act of self-respect, not an attack. If a connection can't survive my truth, it was never healthy to begin with. Repeat these as mantras. Write them on your mirror. Tattoo them on your heart. Because pushback isn't a sign you're doing something wrong. It's a sign you're finally doing something right. Real life example, Jamal's awakening. Jamal was always the helper. He fixed everyone's problems, picked up slack at work, and never said no. But when he started setting boundaries, things changed fast. His team called him selfish. His friend group drifted. His cousin said, "You're not who you used to be." At first, it crushed him, but then he realized, "I've spent my whole life earning love by sacrificing myself. Now I'm choosing to be loved for myself." A year later, Jamal had fewer relationships, but deeper ones. He felt lighter, freer, more respected. And the ones who stayed? They loved him better, because he loved himself first. Build a pushback plan. Here's how to prepare yourself for when resistance shows up. Anticipate reactions. Know who might struggle and what they might say. Pre-write your responses. Practice your calm, kind, firm replies. Identify your emotional triggers. What guilt buttons do they press? Be ready. Have a support system. Someone who can remind you you're not crazy for choosing yourself. Celebrate small wins. Every time you hold your boundary, write it down, track your power. Final truth. You don't need universal approval. You are not a doormat. You are not a vending machine for comfort. You are not here to be endlessly agreeable. You are here to be whole, even if that means disappointing people who benefited from your fragments. Some people will be uncomfortable with your boundaries. Let them be. They'll adjust, or they'll exit. Either way, you stay free. In the next chapter, we bring it all together. How to build a boundary-based lifestyle so you can live with clarity, energy, and confidence every single day. Chapter 10, Living a Boundary-Based Life, Daily Practices for Peace and Power. So you've made it this far. You've learned to say no. You've reclaimed your time. You've handled guilt, pushback, and emotional manipulation. You've remembered who you are. Now comes the real magic. Sustaining it, living it, embodying it. This chapter is about how to make boundaries a way of life, not just a defense mechanism in moments of burnout. It's about designing your daily rhythm, relationships, and your entire mindset around one unshakable truth. I am worthy of peace, clarity, and choice every single day. Let's build your new life around that. Boundaries are not one-time events. Setting a boundary is not a moment. It's a muscle. It requires repetition, reinforcement, maintenance. Just like brushing your teeth or exercising, boundaries are daily hygiene for your energy. Without them, your life gets cluttered, overcrowded, misaligned. So how do you keep that clarity alive? 1. Start every week with a boundary check-in. Ask yourself every Sunday, or any reset day, where did I overextend myself last week? What drained my energy unnecessarily? What boundary do I need to reinforce moving forward? Then plan ahead. Block out non-negotiable self-time. Schedule breaks, limits, and space. Anticipate tough conversations. Don't wait for your boundaries to be violated. Build them into your schedule. 2. Create daily mini rituals that honor your energy. Simple, consistent habits can protect your peace better than 1,000 emergency no's. Try morning silence before checking your phone. No meetings hours during your peak productivity. tech-free time blocks for presence, end-of-day reflection or journaling. Each one is a micro-boundary that says, this is my space, this is my power. 3. Set ongoing digital boundaries. Your phone is a boundary battleground. Do this. Turn off non-essential notifications. Delete apps that hijack your time. Log out from accounts that trigger stress or comparison. Use app blockers to reinforce discipline. You don't have to be available all the time. Your attention is your power. Guard it fiercely. 4. Use the power of the pause. In any moment of pressure, when someone asks for a favor, when a text demands a response, when your calendar fills up fast, insert a pause. Say, let me think about it. Can I get back to you tomorrow? I'll need to check my availability. Pausing is powerful. It gives your nervous system time to respond, not react. It puts you back in the driver's seat of your decisions. 5. Make boundary conversations. Normal. Boundaries aren't just for moments of conflict. They should be part of everyday life. Practice saying, here's what works for me. I'm trying something new to protect my energy. Let's find something that feels good for both of us. When boundaries are woven into your communication style, they stop feeling like rejection and start feeling like respect. 6. Create a personal yes policy. Instead of just deciding what you'll say no to, get clear on your sacred yes. Ask, what do I want more of in my life? Who makes me feel most alive and seen? What activities truly energize me? Then protect those things like treasure. Because every no becomes easier when you're crystal clear on what you're saying yes to. 7. Don't negotiate core boundaries. Some things are flexible. Others are foundational. Decide your non-negotiables. For example, no toxic communication, no work after 7 p.m., no guilt-based obligations, no sacrificing mental health for niceness. You don't owe anyone access to your well-being. You are allowed to have standards. Real-life example, Mia's peaceful revolution. Mia was a successful entrepreneur, but always burnt out. She checked emails at midnight, said yes to every client request. She wore stress like a badge of honor. Until one day she asked herself, what's the point of success if I never feel peaceful? She shut down social media for a month, rebuilt her schedule around three priorities, focus, family, and freedom. Started ending every day at 6 p.m., no exceptions. Her income didn't drop, it grew. Why? Because she stopped leaking energy and started leading her life. Final truth, you teach people how to treat you every day through your words, tone, choices, and presence. You're teaching the world what is and isn't acceptable in your life. So ask yourself, am I honoring my truth or betraying it? Am I protecting my time or giving it away carelessly? Am I asking others to respect me while disrespecting myself? Boundaries are not barriers to connection. They are bridges to freedom. They allow you to show up fully without resentment, burnout, or self-abandonment. You are not here to please everyone. You are not here to earn rest through exhaustion. You are not here to be agreeable at the cost of your soul. You are here to live fully, love deeply, serve wisely, and honor your own humanity. And that begins with one sacred word, no. Not as rejection, but as a radical act of self-respect. Live it, own it, embody it. Because when you protect your peace, you become unstoppable.